He is our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedel. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at State Farm Arena. Nick, good to have you back on the show. I want to start with the big trade last night. We get, Hawks get, Porzingis in a three-team deal. And want to get your viewpoint on what that means, in your opinion, for the Hawks. And where is Porzingis right now in his career? We know he had that weird illness last year, but he did play for the Celtics. But the 2 years he was there, he played really well for him.
He was great when he's on the floor, but I always hesitate with a guy at this stage of his career, guys being able to be consistently out there. And there was that weird illness in the postseason, but when he was there, he still gives you a different look. He's going to be able to hit from the outside. And as far as Atlanta is concerned, the thing that would make me feel really good is Porzingis is in a contract year. Somehow it always seems like those numbers go up because they want to get paid. So more power to them. I like that Atlanta at least is trying to switch things up from the way they've been. But the biggest concern, of course, is you have a talented player. Can he stay out there night to night?
Yeah, that's just it, Nick. I mean, a lot of our audience is kind of lukewarm on it, and he is going to hopefully give us that audition year stuff you're talking about for a contract. But then Murphy's Law, we give him a contract extension, Carl, then he goes back to, you know, playing 45 games. What else would you do for the Hawks, man? You draft the big. I know with all the bigs, nobody's ready to go. No one's 100%, Nick. What do you think they do with that 13th pick?
This is the exact point in the draft every year, guys, where if I were running an NBA team, I wouldn't worry about fit whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Whoever you think is the most talented player at 13, go for it. And if you're the Hawks and you have all kinds of different flaws on the roster and you're trying to figure out which direction you're going to go, this is where you have to trust your scouts and you have to believe that they've put the work in that is going to get you to a point where you just have the most talented guy available. I think far too many teams get stuck in, all right, well, we need a big man. So who's the best big man on the board? All right, we'll take him and we'll hope for the best. No. Especially when you have a team that's trying to figure out what path they want to take. Whoever the guy is that lands at 13, get the most talented guy you can and run with it. But the problem, guys, is, as we know, especially in all these different drafts, you know the Cooper Flag is going to be a superstar. He is the guy. I like Harper, but he's not at that level. And then after, like, two, you're kind of like, well, we'll see. Right. I mean, there are talented players to be sure. But if you're Atlanta or any of these teams kind of in the middle of that first round, it is completely a crapshoot.
Let me ask you this. As Nick Friedel, guys, Odyssey NBA insider, we saw Orlando go after Bane, and I thought it was a really good move for them.
It was.
Thank you, Bane. And then we make the move for Porzingis. If this Eastern Conference is truly wide open, is Orlando in a better spot right now, considering we got Jalen Johnson coming back healthy, Risha Shea in the development of him, Dyson Daniels, all first-team defensive player? Is Orlando in a better spot after going after Bane, or are we now that we've got Porzingis?
I would still take Orlando, guys, and I say that because I believe in Bane Carroll.
Okay.
I mean, he is just that level of star. For as good as Trae Young has been, and they had that run a couple seasons ago where you thought, all right, it's starting to come together. If it were me in Atlanta, and this is why I would put Orlando ahead, I would move Trae Young. I would say it's not working with what we have. Let's get back the most we can right now, and let's see what happens with these new younger guys that we've got trying to develop on the roster. It's clear when you talk to people around the league that Atlanta is still hoping for the best, and they're hoping that they can build around Young and he can be the guy that they need him to be. But if you're trying to take a leap, sure, you can hit in the draft, and that's all well and good. But count me in the group that just doesn't believe that he's ever going to be that number one guy that you can lean on. And so specific to Atlanta-Orlando conversation, give me a team that is led – by Banchero and Wagner over a team with Trae Young any day.
Yeah, man. Nick Friedel triggering many of our audience members
right now.
3, 2, 1. No, it's a conversation, Nick, that we have people outside Atlanta, and we always say, Carl says, we're too close to it.
Yes, we are.
You know, and it's funny because some folks, we've said it, some fans would say he's never had the Batman and Robin. Porzingis is actually, even at this stage, at age 30, is the best player that he's had since John Collins. So I see both sides of it. But you got to have size. And an undersized point guard, we're seeing it. You know, unless you're Steph Curry, who is the ultimate unicorn, everybody else, before Halliburton got hurt, everything else you see, these are more athletic, bigger guys bringing up the ball.
Bingo. And guys, I want to say a prayer for all the good people down in Atlanta right now, because that is an incredible sentence that was just uttered, that Porzingis is the best player that Trae Young has.
Yeah,
John
true.
Collins.
It's true.
Oh, my. I mean, when you put it like that, it's been a rough go down there lately. But, that really is at the core of it. I know there are a lot of people down in Atlanta who love Trae Young. They love going to see him play, and they believe that if you traded Trae Young, well, would people still show up? I don't know if it would make that big of a difference at this point anyway, though, because in my mind, Trae Young is not – that number one star guy that is going to take you to the promised land. And if you believe that Trae Young can still turn into the second coming of Steph Curry, good luck. Because nobody's Steph Curry. He is truly a unicorn, and he's the best shooter we're ever going to see. Trae Young is not that guy. He's a really nice player, but he's not the type of number one stud that you're going to build around for a team that is still trying to get to some sort of championship contention. So the sooner the organization can come to that realization, I think the better off they'll be. But they feel like he can still be not only the star they need and the draw they need, but the type of guy who can help younger players develop on the floor as well. I just think that is the wrong pick, and they're stuck in the way that they're in right now.
So then that also means you're not giving him a Supermax. Correct? Right?
Guys, if you give Trae Young a Supermax, just stop talking about championship.
I'm just saying.
And development.
Because, Nick, you know this. This is something that's approaching, right? He's got a player option after next season. This is something that this team has to look at. We're going to talk to Anse Salah, the general manager, by the way, of our Hawks, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. I'm gonna leave that right there for you. I want to ask you about what the hell is going on with Ace Bailey. What is going on with Ace Bailey?
When you talk to people around the league, guys, I think what pops out is you just don't know if Ace Bailey is going to have the type of mentality night to night and the love for basketball to work on his game over and over and over again, and defensively to develop the way you're going to need in order to be a force in the league. Mm. He has the chance to prove the critics that he has wrong for a long time. But as far as tonight goes and where he ends up landing in the draft, that's the biggest problem I think that he's going to have, is fighting that narrative of just how badly does he want it. And if you're a college kid or you're somebody that's trying to come into the league from wherever you're coming from, the biggest thing teams want to know is that you want to be in there every single day. You want to put the work in. And I'd say in this era especially, they want to know that you can play defense.
Right.
And if you can't do that on a consistent basis, or you haven't shown that that's possible, or there are questions about that desire, that's when you start to slide a little bit, especially potentially in Bailey's case.
Talking with Nick Friedel, guys, about the NBA. And, again, if you want to rewind to the Odyssey app, Nick saying, we're never going to win with Trae. His words, not mine. Hey, man, as far as the Eastern Conference, with Halliburton down, with Tatum down, with no Thibodeau to light a fire under Cat, other than Cleveland staying healthy, it seems like the Eastern Conference is going to be wide open next year.
I can't remember a time, guys, where the East was this wide open ever since I've been covering the league. This is the moment in time where if you want to try and make that push, it's there for the taking. And I still don't believe in Cleveland. I know we talked about it earlier in the postseason.
Yeah.
I just don't think that those pieces are ever going to get you to where you want to go.
Nick, let me ask you this while you're in the middle of that, because we were having this conversation. You get rid of Garland, you move Garland?
100% I move Garland.
Okay.
Because I don't think he fits the best that they can get out of the group that they've already put together. We've seen it the last couple of years. I know he was hurt throughout much of this postseason, but go back a couple of years, guys. Garland, in the biggest moments, he had real struggles. And I think there's got to be a better fit for Cleveland for what they want to do. As you all know, and this is the problem in the league, we talk about trades all day long, and this goes back to Trae Young, actually. But it is so rare for a team, when you're trading a player of a certain caliber or the team feels they're of that caliber, to get back any kind of equal value in return. So specific to Garland, if I were the Cavs, I would absolutely make that move because I don't think he is that kind of guy. But from a broader standpoint in the East, if you think you have any kind of chance, now's the time. And I know the Magic made that move, and people are like, oh, man, you know, they gave up a lot. I think part of that was because of the KCP deal and to get off that. But now that looks even better because you have Indiana. They're going to be not the same without Halliburton. The Celtics, we know their story without Tatum, and they've already started making the move. Now is when you go for it. And if you feel like you're close, put your chips in and see what happens. But there are so many different subplots in the East. There is such a depth of different teams that have a chance. And I can't remember a time when if you were – running an Eastern Conference team, you legitimately thought before the season started, hey, it could be us, because so often it's one or two teams. Now you've got five or six, seven teams that believe that they have a legit chance to get out and into the finals next year.
Last thing, Derek Queen out of Maryland is in this 11, 12, 13, 14 range if we stay there. Danny Wolf from Michigan. What do you think of Queen? What do you think of Wolf?
I mean, Queen had some pretty big moments at his time in Maryland, and I think that he's got a chance to really develop. I mean, if that were the pick, guys, Queen would be the player that I would go with, because I think that he has shown he's not going to back away from being the guy when you need somebody to hit the shot or you need somebody to make a play. When you see that in college, a lot of the time it can translate once you get to the bigger stage in the league. So if he's there and I'm Atlanta, that would probably be the direction I'd go.
Nick, appreciate you stopping by as always. Odyssey MLB NBA insider, should I say, Nick Friedell joining us here. Should be an interesting draft, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Always, guys. Enjoy being with you. Have a good one.
Cool beans, man. Yeah, it's anytime we get somebody, as we said, talking to Nick Carl from outside Atlanta, they don't believe in trade the way Atlanta Hawks fans believe in trade.
Different perspective. And by the way, we need that. It's like somebody analyzing your friend group, and you think all your boys are cool, but that one person who, like, they know, like, oh, man, and not really, oh, boy, right there, he's not that. You right. Need that. Somebody outside the group, Mike, sometimes to tell you that. And I think for Atlanta, we've been a little bit afraid of that.
He also reacted when I said, yeah, technically Porzingis is the best. No, Jalen Johnson, we're, again, high hopes, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's not an all-star
yet.
That's it.
Yeah. By the way, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell brought to you by Hyundai. All right, we're coming back. Yeah, man, no, man. We're live at State Farm. You guys can chime in on that. Whether you agree with him or not, we'd love to hear from
you. Don't kill the messenger.
Yeah, Day-Day's next with Yeah, Man, No, Man.